Hello there, and welcome to the Natalie and
Dennis
Show podcast.
Francelli, I didn't hear you.
Happy Friday.
Hold on. Francelli's got to do it with us.
Okay.
I can't.
Yes, you can,
it's
Francelli.
It's a lot to do at once.
It is a lot to do
okay.
at once.
Okay, you can set it to both of us.
But that was so good.
I know, but I want everybody
But
to
are we getting
it.
Into it already? Happy Friday?
Yeah, you can do it.
This is a show. First of all, happy Friday. Thank you guys so much for being here. This is our second week, episode
66. Thank you for catching that.
And we got some cute girls over here.
Interns. They got their own camera today.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves today?
Hello, my name is Haley.
Woo!
Plump. And I'm Natalie also.
Hey, Natalie.
Natalie and Natalie.
We're so happy to have you guys here today.
And
this is a fun one.
We have Francelli again.
Francelli in the house. Woo!
Francelli on the camera.
Oh my gosh. Are we excited or what? It's been a long week.
It's been an extremely different week for us because this is the week that we actually released Offline Humans, the book.
Yay, you guys.
And foremost, I want to say congratulations, obviously, to Natalie for releasing her book.
Thank you.
And the interns actually brought in balloons and flowers. Can you actually tell us a little bit about that, Natalie?
That was so sweet. Wait, that was literally a pinch me moment when you guys, but it was so funny because I had literally sent a chat just a few minutes before, and I was like, hey guys, because nobody was here. We were all supposed to be here at 10.
All four of them were late at the same time.
So I was like, what is going on? So, you know, I was like, Francelli, should I help you out and sort of, you know, let them know, hey guys, like timeliness is really important. But then when all of you walked in with the balloons and like, oh, the flowers, I felt awful. I was like, why did I practice and exercise my whatever
authority?
My authority when they were so sweet. No, but it was really sweet. You guys made me feel so special. Honestly, I don't think anybody's ever done that for me. I think you recorded it because you were like that. I just know Natalie felt so special in that moment.
I know that night I mentioned to you, I was like, I don't think anyone's ever like congratulated you for doing something in that way.
Yeah, that was really like, it was so unexpected. No, seriously, you guys, it was so unexpected. Like it wasn't my parents. It wasn't, you know, like a friend. It was just like, you guys were so, I don't know, like really sweet. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
So yeah, that was a very genuine and uplifting moment. This is week two of being sick for most of us here at the Natalie and Dennis Show. So if you hear a lot of coughing,
that's what's going
on. We're sorry in advance.
But you know what? We're committed.
Yes.
We're committed to the bit. We are here.
We fight through the epidemic to bring you this show.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think the main obvious topic of this episode is going to be the release of the Offline Humans book. Can you just start by telling us how it happened?
La la la. Here's the book in action. First of all, she is gorgeous. If you are watching us on YouTube, you can check her out. How did this happen? You guys, this was almost four years in the making. Okay. It started with a pitch. It was, I think, I want to say like 30 pages, a 30 page pitch to my agency being like, hey guys, I'd love to really write this book. I'm currently working on a business. Offline Humans hadn't even really started, but I had the vision for like what I wanted. And it started like that. And it was crickets. Actual crickets.
Radio sounds.
I was like, hey guys. So I'd follow up like every week. And honestly, there wasn't a lot of interest in it. Then finally, I had the opportunity to meet with three different publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, the one that I went with, which was DK from Penguin House, was incredible. And me and Alex just clicked, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how much deeper should I get into the process of it? Because it was a long, long process.
I mean, you can go as deep as you want. What was the process like actually starting the writing?
The writing, you know what? So literature was always my favorite subject in school. And obviously literature is a little bit different than writing because it's the act of, but it came kind of seamlessly. Like it honestly felt like second nature, and they walked me through everything. I was really, really nervous because mm-hmm. I had already been compiling so many things for the book. So it was more of like, how do I piece it together? And I think that's where I have a struggle in, which is, and I tell you this all the time, I'm very good at the visualization of the vision of things, but I'm not very good at the execution of things.
You're like a gatherer of knowledge.
Exactly. I gather ideas. I know what I want, but then it's like, oh my God, I kind of freeze. How do we make this happen? Right. Mm-hmm. So they really walked me through everything. It was amazing. There was like a book map involved, and I mean, yeah.
I think one of the most, interesting things about it though, is that we were still uplifting and doing our normal work. And then you would kind of go into like your little dungeon. I used to call it
literally
the dungeon.
The cave.
It's the rock climbing room. Mm-hmm. And you would just write on your own personal time.
Yeah.
It was outside of what we normally already do.
That I think was the hardest part. To me, if I had just been writing this book and had gotten the deal, I would have been so happy. And I would have been like, you know, like really fully immersed in my whole writer
moment era.
But I didn't get that. I had to, first of all, we were just starting Offline Humans, right? Mm-hmm. We were also in the process of hiring.
Yeah.
We were sort of like changing from, again, a content first business to more of a product first business. So there was a lot of things we were tying the knots to, trying to finish, trying to decide, do we move forward with this? Do we not? Right. It was kind of a hectic time for us. And then on top of that, life. Right.
Yeah.
You and I, a partnership in marriage, but also a partnership in business. And then like trying to balance all of that. And then we'd obviously have a few, we went to Colombia. I was still writing the book in Colombia. I think I was still writing the book in Italy when I went with my family. And just, I mean, it was a lot of like, how do I juggle this? But it was fun. Like, I genuinely want to do this again. I was telling you the other day that I went on tour. Mm-hmm. It was a 22 city tour, and it was so much for me. I remember every day I'd jump into like the freaking
the rockstar bus,
whatever, but no, like into my little cocoon, my bed. Yeah. And I would look at Dennis and close the curtain, and I'd be like, I never want to do this again.
So
let me give you a little
bit of context. Okay. So we weren't on a 22 city tour, but we were on a legitimate rockstar bus. And so there's like bunk beds inside of the bus, and each bunk has a curtain and a fan inside of it. And it's three, right? Stacked mm-hmm. on top of each other. So for example, were you in the middle or were you at the top?
I was at the top.
So she had to climb three bunks to get to the top to close her little curtain.
It was fun though. That wasn't the issue. The issue for me was the fact that you would, and then we'll move back into the book because this isn't about the tour, but it was the fact that like you were, first of all, I'm a very light sleeper. So like the whole time I'm like the bus is jumping, you know, you're going city to city. All of a sudden the bus driver, we're here. It's like 3 a.m. You got to get out. It's freaking New York City. And then go into your hotel room, sleep for like 2 hours, then do like a 2 hour show, a 3 hour meetup, and then after another 2 hour meetup.
Yeah.
Girl, I didn't have the energy to smile after that.
How do book tours work out? Because we just mentioned tour.
To me, I think that would recharge me in a different way, because one thing about that other tour is it was back to back to back to back to back. I think we had two resting spots, which was Seattle and
That was it.
Yeah.
Florida, I think.
Oregon.
No, I'm saying like Florida was the other resting spot.
Oh, okay,
potentially.
Okay. Yeah, potentially. I don't remember. It was all blur. I don't remember a lot about tour. And I just remember one thing. I was like, I get why people do drugs.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Who are like rock stars, because I don't know how you keep that energy or momentum if you're genuinely.
Wow.
I'm just being real. Okay. I didn't do drugs, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, I literally was like, oh my God, no, I'm so tired. But back to the book. I think a book would be a little bit different. So
for a book tour.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we would have to fly out to these places. And no van, no bus. Definitely not.
I also just think the energy of book people is different. Right?
Yeah.
It's like you're there to learn. It's like very community based. Chatting, friendships, relationships, all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the most exciting part though, that the book is at Select Barnes and Noble. And independent bookstores.
Which we don't know which ones.
We don't know. We did get tagged on Bridge Books in
Virginia.
And that was so iconic. I have to reach out back to my editor and be like, how did this happen? Because I want to go to local bookstores here
and
make it happen. So tell us what it was like. seeing the book.
So Natalie sent me in before you actually went in, and you're like, go and make sure the book is there before I even go inside and I start recording.
But wait, let me tell you why, right?
Yeah.
So I've had two acquaintances who have written books.
Yeah.
And it's in the contract that their book will be in bookstores. They go all excited and the book is not there.
Oh, damn.
And it's devastating. Mm. Like, that must be a really devastating moment. You're all excited for this. And then it's like, wait, why is my book not there? Mm. So I don't know what that's like. Luckily, I worked with really great partners who
made it happen.
Yeah. So that's really wonderful. But yeah, I was nervous the whole day. I just wanted to hurl.
I do wonder what it would take to get our book to Target. I think Target would be a really great place to have it. Aside from Barnes and Nobles, I think even Books a Million would be really great.
It is online, Target, Walmart, Books a Million, and a few others.
Yeah.
So it is Amazon. Online. Amazon.
Amazon's probably where most of the people actually get it.
Yeah.
How do we forget Amazon?
Yeah. It's been a week, I think.
It's currently number 8 in productivity.
I know. So you know. Yay. For new releases.
Yes. So anyways, I went inside of the store and I'm like, okay, I'm envisioning this thing is going to be a big pile of Offline Humans books. It's going to be right at the front.
See, this is the part when we were recapping what you felt. I was like, why the hell would they do that for my book? When freaking
just gotta believe
Mel Robbins has like, she's like Mel Robbins. You know what I mean? Like she has maybe like 16 books.
It depends
and like,
on the bookstore.
No.
How new a book is.
Anyway, so Dennis apparently was like, oh my God, there's going to be this huge section for like Offline Humans.
I envision walking in and like a stack of Offline Humans books and like a full size cardboard of like Natalie.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's how I envisioned, right? So I like walk in and my mind is like, okay, I got to look for a pink gradient sprayed edge.
Yeah.
I'm like looking around and it's all these like fantasy, you know, novels. And I'm like, oh,
all
wait,
the romance.
Where is this? Okay. I'm like, okay. So it's not around the front. Let me go to the new book section. So I go to the new book section, like nothing. And I'm nothing. Like, I'm like, oh shit.
Oh my God. And you know what's interesting? I made him record his reaction and like his face just starts kind of going down and down. Yeah. It's like minutes on end, him searching for the book.
So then I go to productivity. It's not there. And I'm like, damn. Should I text Natalie like it's not here?
Like, damn, her worst nightmare. Yeah.
So I walk over to information and there's like this really nice lady. I'm like, hey, so I'm looking for this book called Offline Humans. And she's like, okay, I'll type this in. So she said it wrong a couple times.
She was like, so typing. Sweet too,
she was,
though.
She was really funny.
I love
though.
Librarians.
And she's like, oh, it should be in the productivity section. Let me go check. It wasn't there. And then she's like, but it says that we have it in stock. So whatever. She ends up getting someone else. They go to the back. They look. They find it. They bring it out. And then
it was in the back. Still.
It was in the back. It was so new that they had just taken it out of like the Penguin Random House box that like we got. Right.
I mean, granted, we also went at like 11 a.m.
That is true. We went bright and early.
At 10.
Oh my. Yes. Right. We didn't even let them get to work. Imagine. No.
Anyways. So she hands me the book. I'm like, okay, cool. How many are in the back? And she's like, No, we only got this one. And I was like, oh no, okay, cool. And she's like, what, do you need it? Like, you're gonna buy it, right? Because like I asked for it. And I'm like, no, my wife's in the car. She wrote it. She wants to come in and see it for the first time. And I was like, can you like just place it there? Like, really nicely. So
that was really special.
So at information, she like places it there. And I'm like, okay, I'll be right back. And then I go to the car and I get you.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where like a lot of the reaction, I posted a bunch of videos on freaking Instagram of like that moment of me just sort of walking in through the doors of Barnes and Noble. First of all, it's a beautiful Barnes and Noble, the one that we went to.
The two-story one.
We went to two locations, but those are just, I mean, to me, it's my childhood.
It is.
Those bookstores, they smell beautiful, like coffee. It's just like a dream. I had walked in there so many times, just sort of like envisioning what that would look like. And
for me, there was a bookstore called Walden Books. It was like a kid's store and it had like little things that you could go through and you could read or whatever.
I remember those.
It was all for kids. And yeah, I wonder if our book will ever be at the library. Somebody asked that in the DM.
What do you mean? Like the local library?
Local public library.
I would love that.
Yeah,
that'd
because
be amazing.
Not everyone can afford, you know?
Yeah, that would be so amazing.
It would be nice if someone checked out your book.
We can make that happen.
At the library.
I would love that. I mean, even I was thinking there's a, we're not going to name where we live, but there's a local little library here.
Yeah.
So you get to put a book and then you get to take a book. I was thinking of taking my book, right?
Really cool.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how that works with libraries. Would they have to like buy it? Can someone like donate books? Maybe we can take it also.
I would donate the book.
We could take it to UCF's library. And we can actually have it there.
Oh. You know, that would be cute.
There's got to be some Natalie's outlet, you know, peeps out there at
UCF.
That
would be really cute.
That'd be very cool. Or what, like, do you guys think? I want to know what the interns think about that.
I think that is a great idea, actually, because I feel like our library is low-key lacking, and we need some girly pop books in
there. Exactly.
How many sprayed edges do you guys see at UCF? Probably not many.
None.
No.
It became very popular, though, this year. I will say I was really happy with my editor. That was his idea, to do sprayed edges.
Yeah.
They really went all out, because this book is not just a book. It's actually, it has journal prompts. So it's like a journal meets book, and there's pictures.
Yeah.
And can we talk about my biggest regret of writing this book?
What was the biggest regret?
I got a really big regret.
What was that?
So every single picture in this book was taken by the most incredible, fabulous photographer ever. Okay. And that person was Dennis. Mm-hmm. And guess what? There's no mention of him in the book.
That's a damn shame.
Can I explain why?
Why?
The book, or the pictures, were the very last thing we did in the whole process.
Yes.
The text was already finished. So they basically just, like, plugged in
the images.
The images. So I don't know why I didn't think about going back and being like, hey, by the way, can we update that the pictures were taken by?
I think Jupiter appears more in the book than I do. He has like three pictures, and I think I'm just one solitary picture.
Yeah. So that happened. But
all right. So the story. So you walk into Barnes and Noble's after I confirm that the book is there, and then what?
That was so special. Well, the lady is there. I'm kind of like embarrassed, honestly, because I don't like attention like that. And I was like, oh my God, hi, can I grab this book? And they're like, sure. And then I was like, should I tell them I'm going to put my signature? I don't want them to think I'm vandalizing like a book just cause. So I was like, hi, yeah. Can I sign? I think they knew that I was the author. So I was like, I'm going to sign this book. And then she made it really special, and she got the little sticker. There's a Barnes and Noble like signed author sticker.
Yeah.
And she put it on top, and it was a really sweet experience. I hadn't practiced my author signature.
Wow.
I don't know what that was like.
What even is an author signature?
I don't know, but I guess I kind of need to create one.
I wanted to talk about, and this is off script. This is like, it just came into my mind, but you know, we were very fortunate that we have like an agency and the resources in order to create and publish a book.
Yeah.
But I did want to ask you, you know, normally for an average person to write a book, like what does it take? And also, do you know anyone who's had potentially trouble writing a book who might not meet the criteria or things that they need to have in order to write one?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I am an average person, right? Yes. And I think like, even though I do have an agency, I still had to pitch myself to them and they had to like the idea and still, you know, have some sort. I was very lucky that I got a deal.
That is true.
First of all, like I got paid to write the book.
Yeah.
Aside from whatever else I sell, which is incredible. So that in itself was an incredible opportunity as a first time writer. I have a friend who is currently writing a book. I actually have many friends who are currently writing a book, and it's incredible. And I will say, like, you should start writing a book before you have a deal, because it's such a long process. By the time I got the deal, I had like a few months to really wrap it up.
Yeah.
Which isn't a lot of time. Right. So, my friend who currently doesn't have an agency and is writing her own book, self-publishing can be, I think, very tricky, but with the power of social media, like if you know how to really harness it and to, I don't know, like almost start curating little events at a local shop, right? And then utilizing that to really propel, like, oh, there's actually people that are coming out. Just even your own friends. Like, for example, I'm going to have a book launch party. We're all invited to. Whoever can make it, it'd be great. I'd love to have you guys there. Basically, it's just friends and family. But out of that event, we're going to get, you know, content. We're going to really, like, I guess, just get like real insight into what people think. We're going to do a little book signing, but out of that curated event, we're also going to get assets out of it. So that's what I would recommend somebody like starting, because what my friend is being told by different publishers who are rejecting her book is, well, you don't really have a following. And that's really sad.
You can't get in the club.
That's sad to me, because it's like, you don't know how many great writers there are out there that, you know, don't hit that criteria, but could really, I mean, they're fabulous writers.
That's what I was going to say. What happens if someone's not like social media savvy? but they're great writers.
That, like, is really tough. Yeah. In this time and age.
It kind of reminds me of like ghostwriters for like singers. Mm. You know, they're like kind of in the backseat doing their thing. And then eventually someone has to be the one that takes it to like the finish line, like the actual singer.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's such a thing as ghostwriters.
Yeah.
So there is. Like, there's people
for that, books.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Of course.
So someone's just the face of the writing and isn't the actual author.
Yeah. I think like a lot of biographies are kind of like that. Oh. I think. Yeah. Huh. But anyways, kind of going back to that, like, I wish I could sugarcoat that that's not the way that the process is. I still think there's ways for you to, be that like first and front runner in that way where you can still propel your book, but you are going to have to need some sort of, you know, social media, element to help you,
or presence, or anything,
or just a community. Even if it's just your own friends and family, like you could do like a little dinner party and then showcase the book, maybe have each of them sort of give a testimony. Like everything starts like that, word of mouth. So
did you have any regrets after you finished writing the book, other than me not being in it for the pictures?
Let me think. Any other regrets?
Sections maybe you had to leave out, corners you had to cut.
Corners I had to cut. I would say, I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing.
What? No, what?
In the first page, I wrote how I became the offline advocate girly. And I kind of regret that one liner.
Why?
Because I think that is something in the making. So I think when I wrote the book, like I already had a vision for where I wanted to be, but I'm not fully there yet. You know what I mean? So I think there's still a lot of work to really get to that. But that's why I put it in quotations, because I gave myself that name.
That's interesting. I wonder if there's ever a moment, well, there definitely will be, where an author kind of outgrows what they wrote and they don't agree with what they said before.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of content too. I mean, think about, I'm sure there's pieces of content that we've done that you're like, holy hell.
There's a lot
of
that.
I wish I had never done that. There's you know what I mean? Yeah. So isn't that just a part of like the journey? Like that's just, you change as a person. Unfortunately, now there's a digital footprint of that's what true. You do. But I honestly, going back to that for a second, because I have a lot of friends who started in like the DIY hack era and they now deleted all their videos. I don't agree with that in the sense of I wish that you would show people what it took for you to get there. Like, I want to see the journey. You know what I mean? Versus just like, oh, all of a sudden she's like at Fashion Week shows and this and that. It's like, what did it take? No, girl. She was doing these like at home DIY hack videos. And okay, that's cool. Like, I want to see that journey. Mm. So
you don't mind if someone like researches you after reading the book for the first time and then goes back and watches our first vlogs and our
first
videos.
Well, that's the way that it's going to be. Yeah. I do think it's embarrassing.
But it's
but that's a part of the journey. I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm not running for president or anything, so it's fine.
People got a lot of dirt on us if they wanted to.
I don't think we're.
Make us look silly.
I don't know. I think there's worse things out there, to be honest. I think we've had a very clean digital footprint, I would say.
Has this project made you want to write another book?
Yes.
Really?
It has. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, do you go on tour again?
Like a book tour? I would actually do a little like book signing tour. I think that'd be really fun. Yeah. I would actually love to do a podcast tour.
Really?
Yeah. I've always thought about that. Like, okay, right now we have two audience members. This is the first time. Well, last week we also had Natalie and our other intern, Elena, which was really fun. But like, I think that'd be really cool. Like just intimate little settings. We could do like a cafe or like one of those speakeasies, like clubs, and then have 10 people, or I don't know how many people are local. I think
would it
be
more
fun.
Podcast focused, or would it be book focused, or both?
No, those are two separate things.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Oh, so you're saying podcast tour just for podcast, like conversational.
Yeah. Yeah. Like to
this.
Meet our audience and stuff like that. And then the book is like totally different. You know, here's the thing about offline humans that I think is crazy. Cause we saw this the other day in one of our mentions. Mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating when people find the brand and don't know me. Mm. That to me is like, we're doing something right. You know what I mean? So somebody had just purchased a Calm Cup. They were like fully aware of all of our products. They're like, oh my God, I also want a shimmer tab, et cetera, et cetera. And then I went on her page and she didn't follow me. And I thought that was amazing. I was like, oh my gosh. Cause she really was speaking about offline humans as like a community she loves to be a part of. And she loves the products. So, I mean, that's That's what I want.
I think we talked about it in the last podcast, but there are a lot of mini communities within our community.
Yes.
So we have our little Discord community. We have our podcast community. Mm. What do you think the absolute most hardcore fan from like ages ago would remember that maybe other people don't remember?
What do you mean?
So we have a song called Spicy Love.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
For example, like that's a lot of funny. People don't know that we have a song called Spicy Love.
Yeah.
So that's like something that.
But I never sang, guys. let me clear the air for a second, okay?
Yeah.
So we worked with the Gregory Brothers. They've done a lot of really big like remixes.
Yeah, they're Shmoyaho on YouTube.
Shmoyaho, yeah. And so they were like, Natalie, we'd love to piece together a bunch of your videos, and they made the song about Jupiter. And it's so cute. Like
Spicy Love.
I'll sing the song. It's an Academy Award, whatever, winning song. It's just like a really sweet song. So they pieced together a bunch of my videos, and this one just happened to be about video. I let them do whatever they wanted, and it was such a fun project. We still use the song actually in a lot of our vlogs, like just the background
on the main channel. Mm-hmm. It's still like the song.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention, and
I like that. So those are little Easter eggs, right? Yes. Is that what that was your question? I'll go back to that in a second.
It's like stuff that's ingrained inside of like our content that like people will remember from way back from like the beginning of like other things.
Okay. Well, I would say You Now.
Okay. Yeah.
When we did You Now. So we used to go live on this app called You Now.
Yeah.
And it was so niche.
It really was.
It was so niche. Matter of fact, the other day I was checking out some of our old vlogs. It's just such a time, like fun era to see where we've come. And in there we were like, oh, today we're going to go live on You Now. It's Sunday. Come on out. Like that's pretty niche. And when I hear people be like, oh my God, I used to like watch you guys on You Now. I'm like, whoa, you're an OG.
We used to have like the nasty flavored jelly beans, and we used to do like pies and like challenges and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Or like, is that where we had the challenge of like chewing 100 pieces of gum?
No, that was on the vlog. Yeah. Oh, we've done a lot. But no, can I just go back to Rosalina? I think she'd be niche.
Oh, totally.
Very niche.
100%.
You know what's crazy? So Rosalina was my evil twin sister. Okay. So at the time we were working with Alejandro was his name. Well, is his name. Actually, where is Alejandro? Alejandro, if you're out there, I've texted you. I'm like, did he die? Like, where is he? Like,
yeah, I moved to Spain.
I need to connect with him again. Anyways, he was our editor for like 5 years. Super incredible. And Alejandro was very into film. He had finished film school. And he was like, guys, I want to bring like my film to YouTube.
The movie magic.
So he did that with Rosalina. We had like these crazy shots of like a slow. I don't know. They're really curious. Created fun videos.
It was very much like our skit era. Like it was a part of YouTube where it wasn't like teaching, it wasn't hacks, it wasn't DIY. Like we had actual like little mini movies on Natalie's outlet.
And I just kind of want to go back because it's kind of crazy. Those videos got so many freaking views. And why I say that's very niche is because when people mention, oh my God, I remember like what your twin sister or whatever, it's like, okay, you've been around for a while, girl.
Some people thought she was real.
Some people still think she's real.
The lore continues.
But it's no, wig. Literally like over 50 million views, 22 million views. Like that's actually insane. You know what I mean?
Rosalina was definitely an era for us, wasn't she?
Rosalina was such an era that you guys want to know something really freaking crazy. Okay. Rosalina. This is kind of crazy. I'm not going to say it like that. No, because that sounds a bit much. But we got offered a TV show. To do Rosalina.
That's right.
And I was like, I don't want to be known for this. But basically, it was like, you guys can move out to LA. Just think about it. Like, you're the internet, whatever, girl.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
They wanted to record our wedding.
I remember that.
And we said no.
T.
I didn't want to make our wedding like that.
But yeah, they did want to record this particular network, wanted to record our wedding. And we were like, that is not romantic. Like they wanted to spin it off.
Yeah. We weren't the type to do that kind of real life content.
Like, can you imagine our wedding, a reality TV show? That's just kind of weird. I don't know. I don't like to mess with like love relationships. And I was like, no amount of money can do that.
This, what I'm going to say next might be a little bit mean, but how do you feel about people who milk real life stuff and situations like that for content?
Well, right now I'm milking my book stuff. So what do you mean?
But that's like not...
I think that's part of the strategy. I'm going to be honest.
Fine, whatever.
That is part of the strategy. Or what are you referring to?
Okay, episode 20 of me about to get married. And then it's like what? It's like, I thought you were married already.
I get it, okay.
And it's like dragging it, checking the dress.
Yeah.
And then it's like over and over. And it's like a year of just content of
getting married. Here's what I'll say to that. I feel like a marriage is such a life-changing thing that it does kind of encompass every element of your life. As a viewer, it could get a little boring. It can. But also some people are really into that. So it just sort of depends. It's, for example, like when somebody becomes pregnant and then people will comment and be like, oh my God, now all her content's going to be about pregnancy. Yeah. Maybe it is. It's her channel. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, let the person do what they want with their moment.
Yeah.
But I totally understand what you're saying. There's some people that do that. And I'm like, are you married or not at this point? I'm like confused.
I do think that, and you mentioned it a couple days ago, in terms of online content, it kind of revolves around moments in life. And if you really don't have a lot going on or like a moment to grab onto, it's harder to create content out of like nothing. Cause like nothing is really going on. It is.
You know, I want to throw that over to Francely because I know that Francely is doing some content once in a while, only if you want to answer Francely, I'd be curious. And cause I know we've talked about like, that, you know, you should be doing like fun, like you are doing content right now about how you moved here. But do you ever feel that way where it's like, oh, I don't feel like there is anything to share or like it's hard to highlight those parts of your life, I guess?
I think now that I like now, mm-hmm. I feel like now I'm more stable here. So mm-hmm. I'm not living like moving process anymore. It's mm-hmm. more difficult for me to find like stuff to post. Cause at the beginning I was posting like, saying bye to my family, saying bye to my friends.
And, in
like,
Mexico, can we give process. Context? Battery exhausted.
No.
No. Is that the Francely cam?
That is the Francely cam.
Yo.
As she's talking.
What?
We can still hear you, Francely. So Spotify and Apple Podcasts can still take advantage of the audio. Hey.
Something to fix for the future.
You can show any of us if you want. Or let's show the interns while you talk. It'd be okay. Funny.
Yeah, well, now that I'm here, like I'm not living like different things, new things. So it's difficult to create content of that because now I'm like, I feel like I'm more stable here because I used to film vlogs like, looking for a job, looking for an apartment, but now I have all of that. So now I'm like, what should I post now?
Now you should post working with offline humans, the BTS of working with, you know what I mean? There's a lot.
Running the social media for a book release.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I totally get it because I know you've also said that you don't want to be known for like things like that. Like you kind of want to be known for yourself, which makes sense.
And it's something, it's really difficult.
It is really difficult. No, I totally feel you. But I want to go back to that question about like, what do you do when your life is kind of boring? I will say, I think you just have to be creative with it. Like there is always something going on in your life if you just really think about it. So for example, like let's say you don't believe that.
Nah, you can be a bum and nothing's going on.
Well, I'm going to go back to like you for a second. Let's say that you're not talking about podcasts, but you don't do content.
I don't.
So
I always do content for others. I never do content for myself.
But like, for example, let's say I'm not talking about my book or I'm not talking about whatever. Then maybe I'm like, you know what? I've gained 20 pounds. Let me take you on this journey with me to lose weight. Like there always is something. It just depends on whether or not you want to share it.
I do think you need to be known for people to follow that because if not, you need like, you first need a niche and then start growing your community. Because for example, for me, now that I'm posting random stuff on my page that is not related for me, like in like moving process and all that, like people are not watching my content because they're like,
I agree.
I think for you that you have like a growing community, it's a little bit easier.
Natalie wants to say something.
Intern Natalie, what do you want to say?
I was going to say, I feel like you have to have your personality established first. Like,
yes.
For people definitely. To enjoy that. And then you can kind of go on to more creative kind of things like that.
Adventures.
Nothing's going on because I struggle with that too. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I don't really have anything going on to even film. So it's like, okay, people have to know me first to like me, and then they'll be interested in the small things that I do.
That's not true, guys.
Look, let me tell you.
Wait, because even like, for example, you have a photo shoot on Monday, right? Yeah. Take me through that journey. I feel like as your friend, I would want to see that. Like, what is that like? Even what you told me, you're like, hey, I feel a little bit like not the best when I'm going to be in this, you know, like take them through what that looks like. I think it just takes a little bit of like creativity, but I do think sometimes, to be honest, that's interesting. I love hearing those perspectives. Sometimes, to be honest, it feels like when you've done it all in that way, like I've been doing this for 11 years, it's almost like people are bored of you. And then it's like, shoot, I have to reinvent myself every year. It's almost harder, and they'll box you in. That's the worst part. It's like, what if I don't want to do DIY and hacks anymore? And it's like, guys, I miss your prank videos. Girl, I don't want to do that anymore. Let me live my life. Where's your twin? Girl, I'm an author now.
How many videos do you think it takes for someone to establish themselves in a niche? Like, for example, I see all these people on TikTok. They'll have a video like beginning my runner era. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's like under 100 likes, for example, but they're new creators, right? How many videos in would you say it takes for them to then establish running era, preparing for marathon, and like take you on this journey with me?
Yeah. This is not overnight.
Of course.
Yeah. This is a lot of work. I literally posted 3 videos every single week when I was doing YouTube for 3 years, and I made what you could eat a sandwich with, and I kept going. So like, you just have to keep going. And now with TikTok, I can't even tell you. I feel like TikTok, because it's so quick, there's so much content out there. That's probably like triple. Like, you probably have to be posting so much, but obviously it has to feel intentional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think it's a lot of work. I don't know. It's a lot.
Well, I want to throw it to the interns. So we talked about like working out and wellness last week. How many times would a gym rat have to post a day to establish themselves as a gym rat?
Honestly, I would say once a day.
Yeah,
once a day.
That could work too.
To be honest. But I don't know. At least I do like the gym, and at least I feel like the people I do follow, they're posting maybe once or twice a day their workouts. But it's also kind of easy because they kind of do just work out once or twice a day. So.
And it's all gym related. They don't wander off and create other types of content. It's just gym.
Gym protein related.
Okay.
One of my best friends, she's a gym content creator, and she's gotten popular very fast. She has like 300,000 followers on TikTok. And every time we'd go to the gym together, afterwards she'd be like, okay, I have to record every time we go.
Yeah.
And she posts every time she goes. So and that's all she posts. That's all her content is.
Wow. So she's very consistent with it. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Consistency.
I wonder if the urge to change content ever comes up to people.
All the time, I think.
But
I think you get bored.
Yeah.
Of what you're doing.
But so you're kind of stuck in that, right? You get labeled the fitness person.
Yeah. But you can't win either way. And I'll tell you why I think that's the case. Because like, let's say you are filming everything and everything works. Okay. Then you start to feel trapped and you're like, oh my God, my whole life is like online. And you kind of start to feel like I'm working all the time, because at the end of the day, you are sort of working. Even if you're hanging out with your friends and you're taking pictures and now you're having to put it together and tell a story and do a voiceover and this and that, like you didn't just go and experience it. Now you're packaging it in a way, you know? So I think that personally, I don't know. I think sometimes, or maybe I've just been doing this for so long that I'm sort of like, I wonder if I wonder if I should quit. Imagine this is my quitting video. Bye guys. I think it's over for me now.
No. Leaving social media.
No, I think you have to continue to reinvent yourself though. I think you do. Just as a person, you get bored with what you're doing. I can't be a YouTuber forever. You know what I mean?
You think there will be the day that you just drop out of YouTube?
Potentially. I think I've already dropped out in a way. Like that's not all I think about. Before it was all I thought about, all I did, I breathed YouTube, you know, I don't do that anymore.
What is your current breath?
My book.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Making it succeed?
Just like what? Okay. No, it's not really the book. It's the ethos of offline humans. It is what it's the ethos. It's what is offline humans, to disconnect, to have community, to go offline, to, you know, be disconnected again, like in the real world. I think that to me is what's really pushing me now.
Where do you think we are in that journey? Do you think
we're just at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a lot ahead of us.
Yeah,
we do. A lot of work. It's actually interesting. Yesterday, Dennis and I were like just watching old videos on my phone. I was like organizing my phone. When do we ever digitally clean now, right? And I was like, oh my God, look at this video. It was me with Sabina. And she was like a former teammate here. And yeah. So she and I were super excited because we had just gotten our offline humans thank you cards. And you were looking at the video and you're like, I can't believe you guys were so excited for that. But it was because it was the first time we ever saw the name on like something physical. Everything had just been abstract. It had been just like mood boards and, oh, graphic designers had submitted like PNGs and or whatever. But now this was like the first, it was just a postcard, but it was so exciting.
I remember I recorded when I opened up the package for the Best Me Journal. Mm. Like the first time I actually opened it before you did. You were in Colombia. And so I opened it and we had three versions. It was a hardcover. It was the spiral. And then it was like, there was another one. It was like a matte touch finish to it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it had
yeah.
like an actual like elastic to it. Mm-hmm. That was real.
That was a real ass moment.
I was like, oh, yeah,
finally.
But then it beckons the question. Okay. If I have thousands of these things, it's kind of scary. Like what if it doesn't sell?
Yeah, you just put one of the biggest, we're not going to drop the amount, but one of our biggest orders with our manufacturer, because we've sold out twice. Well, we're on the route to sell out again of the journal. And we sort of looked at each other. We went to McDonald's actually yesterday and we're like eating McDonald's and we're like, damn, like that's a massive undertaking.
But it's a big investment for us based on like our small experience in this. But there's people who invest, like they drop a lot of money on all of this inventory that comes in.
Yeah. I mean, we have a friend who literally monthly 30 grand on just their warehouse.
Rent. Yes.
Okay. 30 just grand. Rent. And I mean, they're putting in orders of inventory in the millions.
And ads in the millions.
And they're doing amazing. And they're still like, every time we hit send to like the bank, we're scared. Like I don't think this ever doesn't get scary. It's only going to get scarier.
It always feels like we're behind. Like, cause the thing is in the world of selling product, like your investment is the product that you haven't sold. Right. It has a value. And so it's there and it hasn't generated the value until it leaves. Right. And so there's like all this math behind it. You have to think, like, for example, if I have all of these inside of my garage per se, how long until all of them are sold? And then you have to think about, okay, I'm not going to get any of that money back until it's all gone. And then I have to reinvest and be in debt again. And then all of my investment is in this thing that's in the garage again. And it's a continuous cycle.
That's why it becomes a cash flow issue. And that's why a lot of your favorite businesses, they can't keep up with the demand. Because to be quite honest, like we're a team of three.
We really
are. Day to day.
Yeah.
Francely deals with all the customer service stuff, everything social media related. I help with some content like creations and stuff like that. You do all of like the logistics, the back end. Now we run podcasts. I do all of Natalie's outlet, what that entails. And it's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot. But you know what? That's what we got into.
So I have a question, just as we used to do in the last season. They're very fun. And I would like everybody's input on the question.
I'll speak last.
Oh, you're going to speak last again. So for everyone, you can either get $10 million right now.
Oh, shit.
No strings attached, or restart your life at age 6 with everything that you currently know.
The $10 million, it's been rough. I'm only 20 years old. I do not want to redo this. Like, even if I already know, no. The $10 million, thank you, please.
Got it. Natalie?
That's actually a great question. I'm going to be a little different and I'm going to say restart my life with everything that I know, because it could have saved me a lot of things along the way. I'll just say that.
Can I ask though, are we going back in time too?
Yes. So
you can create the next product and cash out.
Yes. That is actually the thing. It's going back to when you were six. So it would mean be going back to like 99 or 98, whatever, how old I was, six. But the thing is, it changes your future.
Oh, whatever you do. That's kind of scary.
So you have to keep that in mind. $10 million, it changed your answer.
I would rewrite Taylor Swift songs and publish them myself.
You would be Taylor? Okay. You would take be Taylor's. Amazing. Taylor wouldn't be Taylor. And you don't care?
If I have $1 billion, I probably won't.
That is so funny. That's a cool answer. Oh my gosh. So where would Taylor be?
I don't know where she would be. I'd find her and take care of her.
Taylor would be
with you. Taylor would be you.
Yeah. Yeah. Taylor's dead.
Taylor would be working at some fast food place.
You're the biggest fan of Taylor Swift, so this is
that's so funny.
That's crazy.
So that's the real Haley.
Okay,
huh?
Prenzeli, you have an answer or no?
I think I'm feeling a little nostalgic right now because I'm about to get my period. So I would say like go back in time. I want to cry it out, but like going back in time to live those moments with my family and like loved ones that passed away.
Not you making me cry.
It's just in this moment I would pick that because it's something that I would like to relive.
So it's not so much the money, it's just going back.
Yeah, it is that, and I'm also super nostalgic. So if I have a chance to go back and see the people that I love that I can't see anymore, I will do that.
Okay. Prenzeli, that was like a Miss Universe question.
And I miss Mexico.
Oh, that's so cute. That's a great answer.
I believe
but I also like yours.
This question is different for us because we're older than them, right? I feel like we have a bit more knowledge of what would happen and we have more time. Well, what happened since we were young? First of all, okay, Bitcoin, just Bitcoin alone. Like I just invest in Bitcoin. Okay. Mm. Right. I would tell my dad, oh wait, go invest in Apple. Like there's so many things that you would do you'd be so rich, but I probably would have never met you. Right. That changes the future because at that point you're rich. Right. And you don't.
Damn.
And you don't know how it affects you. Maybe I would have never met you.
Can I talk about a book? I'm reading a book called The Midnight Library. It's basically this. Like the girl is she has a chance to live different lives based on decisions. Different decisions that she makes. So it's kind of this vibe. If you guys are into that, it's a really good book.
I think I'm going to read that. I actually saw it when I was on Goodreads looking for my book. And I was like, damn, that's the one that Prenzeli was telling me about. It looks really good. I need to get back into reading Prenzeli. So I think that's the one. Sorry, Harry Potter. I couldn't do it, Dennis.
I actually think I would take $10 million. Although I know that I could probably make a lot of money if I went back. I wouldn't want to risk changing anything that I have now. A lot of people to that question said that they would take the $10 million because they have happy families. They have kids, they have a wife, they have people they would risk losing for going back. Right. And also being a child with the knowledge of an adult, it's kind of
so
difficult.
Weird.
Right.
That's gotta be
being
so weird.
Lectured when you're in elementary school, knowing that you were already like probably older than the teacher.
Yeah. I mean, how many,
or at the age of the teacher in their case,
but can you go back and come back again? Like,
no,
just,
you're
just,
stuck. That's it. Six. No. And then you're done. Relive school, all the bad stuff too, all the annoying things.
That actually sounds like a psychological thriller horror movie.
Wait, you're so right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, I would take the 10 as well. I would do it because I think there's a lot that we could do with that money, like for offline humans. So I would do that. I don't know if I would, I don't know, because we were actually, it's so interesting. So the lotto was at its highest it's ever been. I don't know if you guys had heard. It's like at, how much was it?
It was almost at 2 billion.
Yeah.
Like recently, the Powerball.
Yeah. So I literally sat there as if I was going to win it. I'm like, oh my God, if I won, what would I do with that money? And I was like, so we were thinking about it. We were asking my mom, you or whatnot. And it just feels very overwhelming. And it also feels like people could really switch up on you quickly.
Mm. With money, like being rich?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do.
So how many?
What about you guys? Wait, in the comments. I would love to know what you guys would do. Would you take the 10 or would you go back in time with the knowledge that you know now?
Raise of hands of who would take 10 million. Wow, we all did. Francine, you changed your opinion.
Yeah, because now I'm just thinking that I have a lot of accomplishments too in my life and those would go away. Like, what if I do something different?
No, then you'd have to do everything exactly the same.
Yeah, I would not be here. Like, I would have not graduated university. I don't know.
Wow, so we all value the person we became.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Woo. So we wouldn't change anything.
I guess.
There's got to be people that do not like who they became.
Absolutely.
And they would take this opportunity to go back.
But I would want to, I guess, challenge them. What would you go back for? Like, for example, I like Francilli's answer. It was a little bit different. It wasn't like money. Because, yeah, I think that's the first thing you'd think about. Like, you'd go back to, like, I don't know, create the next blah, blah, blah. But what else? Like, what else would you do with that?
Well, people say that there was a risk that if you invest in Apple and Apple all of a sudden sees this influx of investment, they'd change. They would change too. So you never really know that.
The ripple effect.
You did the right thing.
It's the butterfly effect. Like, what if you go back and you invest in Apple, but Apple is not a huge thing anymore.
Yeah, so that's true. They go out of business for some reason because all the money you gave.
Yeah.
They invested it incorrectly.
That's crazy.
Anyways, a couple answers from people online was start at 6 so I can spend more time with my dad. Oh. That was someone that said that. 10 mil because I'm not doing this shit again. And then, yeah, being a six-year-old with the current knowledge would be hell. Like, it'd be too much. You wouldn't know every future event that's going to happen.
I was just thinking about
before
that.
Before it happens. You're a six-year-old trying to prevent some tragedy and no one's going to pay attention to what you say.
Yeah, you'll end up being a lunatic. Like, you'll end up in some sort of a, yeah.
You'd have to learn to stay quiet about certain things.
Yeah. You're going
to
be gaslighted about other things all the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
You wouldn't gamble. You can't, because you know what sport, like in sports, what's going to happen. Who's going to win every World Cup? You know, everything of everything.
Ooh. Well, nope. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a long-winded one.
All right. Anyways, the next one is, I think this one's actually pretty fun too. I would love to know everyone's answer, but when did your instincts ever scream leave now? And what did you later find out you actually ended up avoiding? Did you have a circumstance where you were like, my gut's telling me I got to get out of here. Something really weird is going on.
I don't know. This is kind of tea, but I guess I had an ex-boyfriend and like right before we broke up, I think he's in jail. That's all I have to say. I just think he's in jail.
You felt it?
Yeah. And it was just because he's just going down the wrong path.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of sad, but.
So your instinct told you to leave?
Yeah. Well, actually, he kind of left me and I was like, you don't have a car or a house really. So, okay.
His instincts told him to leave you.
Yeah. But hey, he should have stayed. I would have carried him through. But no.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Now we got anything.
Yeah. My mom told me that as a kid, she was very like hesitant on sleepovers and things like that, just because, you know, like when you're growing up. But
yes,
she said sometimes I would sleep over at somebody that she knew very well, their house. Mm-hmm. And that I would call her like very young in the middle of the night, like crying, like, you have to pick
you
me
would
up.
Call her.
Yeah. I don't remember that, but she would tell me that I would call her and be like, you have to come get me. And I couldn't explain like what it was that I just felt like very, I guess, uncomfortable.
No.
And the person was not a great person. You know what I mean? So I kind of had that instinct. Nothing happened. But as a child.
Wow. So it was
knew like, this is not right. I should not be here.
That's a huge instinct.
Yeah. I feel like kids have. Pretty
you
good.
Just do know, you really do stuff, so. I agree. I think as you get older you almost like wash out that, because the thing with instincts is sometimes it's not very logical. You just feel it. You can't explain it. It's like a gut feeling.
That was actually a follow-up I had here. Do you rationalize them away?
I think that's where you stray wrong. I think there is something with your gut that if you follow through, for me, it's never strayed me wrong, but I have sometimes not listened because I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Right. And then it's like, oh, shoot. Look,
I wonder what it comes with a gut feeling. Like what makes you start to think that something bad is going to happen?
That's the thing. You can't explain it. It's just this feeling.
It's like an aura. that's like pulling you.
It's just the feeling. You just kind of like, you're like, I don't know.
It can also be like anxiety. That's why first I trusted my gut feeling a lot, but now I'm like, wait, is this real? It's actually just my head making it up, like, to scare me. So sometimes I'm like, is it a gut feeling or is it
that's
just
a great point.
I think it's if people, it's part of it's reading the room. It's having just an understanding of what's going on and then also like rationalizing it, but also kind of believing and trusting yourself too. It's like, it's a balance. It's very balanced, you know, Haley.
I would say I have like a weird gut feeling every time I get in the car that I'm going to crash, but it's just my anxiety.
Maybe it's because you're hitting 95 on the highway.
Yeah, definitely. It's that.
I think that one's valid.
Yeah. But wait, for context, because prior to this, Haley was like, wait, whatever.
Yeah, my dad sent me a text to lock in because he saw my Life 360 and it was not good.
So we didn't know what Life 360 was, no, me and Natalie, because we don't have kids and we weren't of the era where our parents would check in on us. Our parents would just be like, you know.
There wasn't really that. The worst, I guess, worst thing I had in the sense of like no control was the whole TV was locked. Like some channels were locked.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was very common. Like it was just in the network.
Is it common for parents to give like their children like, what do you call it? Air tags, follow them, or like Life 360, like an app?
Yeah. I'm 23 years old and yeah, like that's still a thing, but they kind of, whether or not this is true, but a lot of parents, I feel like, make it for like safety reasons. Like, I just want to know where you're at. Like, God forbid something bad happens, at least I will know like where you're at.
Do you have a Life 360, Natalie?
I don't have Life 360, but they have my location or like my keys have air tags. That's just kind of because I'm like forgetful and I misplace my stuff, but they can like find me.
So is that a subscription? I've never heard of that.
I think they do have subscriptions, but I think my dad pays. I have the free version. I also have it with my roommates too, so we know where each other are, which that part's fun. I like knowing where my roommates are, but then I realize that my dad can see where I've been, how long I've been there, how fast I drove to get there. That's just when it gets kind of like, oh wait. But,
so it's like a private snap map.
Yeah. And it'll be like, they were here for 4 hours and 30 minutes. So it's not even like you can lie. Like, I was just stopping by. Like, I wasn't there for
2 minutes.
It's awful.
Interesting.
It kind of reminds me of when kids used to get like their own phones at first. Like, oh, when I call you, you need to pick up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole purpose of me getting you a phone so that we can stay connected, like the parent and the child. But that's like next level, right?
It really is. So, wow. I don't know how I would feel about that.
How would we implement that with our child? That's the question I want to ask you.
Child's not born. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
don't make me, I'm going to like that, spiral now. I'm like, that, oh my God.
That goes into like privacy and like how much privacy does a son or a daughter have with the parent?
Let's talk about that real quick then. Okay, yeah. Fine. Because I think that you led a life where your parents were very trusting of you from what I've heard, right? You never, but I wonder if it's because you were a guy.
Maybe.
For me, it was the opposite. My parents, not my mom. It was my dad. And my mom wasn't like that because her dad was like that. And it really messed with her.
Yeah.
My dad was the kind that was like, what are you watching? What are you doing right now? And I'm always like on edge. Sometimes I get pissed off when you come behind me and you're like, oh, what are you watching? It triggers me. And I'm like, it's my dad. Like, why was he like that? To me, I think that's so unhealthy. I think you should give your kids, at least for me, I think I will give my kids like, hey, you know, here are the things that I think could potentially mess you up. But I think kids need to live through things. I do believe it. They need to sort of like
there's
have
so
that
many
autonomy.
Parental new like hacks in life now, like YouTube Kids. That didn't exist.
I know. That changed everything.
And now I'm seeing little kids like not on YouTube Kids, just watching YouTube and they're watching like weird skibbity toilet shit from like Russia. And I'm like, okay, that's not kind of normal. Like that's weird. Right. So I don't know because I wasn't a wild child. Like
that's the thing too. You were a really good kid.
If I said, I'm going to go play soccer, I went to soccer. Yeah. And like, that's also like trust building with the parent.
That's true.
I also don't know if they ever went secretly to look, right? maybe the few times that they did look, I was there.
And then it
builds
you.
the
that's
trust.
That's true. It goes both ways.
Yeah. And,
I think.
And so like once they went enough times and maybe saw that I was there, then they're like, okay, he's fine. He's not lying. Like he's doing his thing. And then like, honestly, I wouldn't go out a lot. I'd just play soccer, go to school, do my thing, hang out with friends. But like, maybe it was because I was a guy and I'm privileged in that way. And I didn't know. Mm. Right.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. My dad was also crazier. So maybe that's why he
What the hell is the original question? What instincts? Friendly instincts. Have your instincts ever saved you?
I always believe that anything that happens to me is because of something. I don't have like any proof of anything, but like, for example, the day that this happened to my thumb, I was like, okay.
Can you give context?
Oh, so my thumb, I left my thumb like in the door of the car. I don't know how to explain it, but like.
She smashed her finger with the door.
Yeah, that. so that happened. And when it happened and after it happened, well, it was before coming to work. So I was like, this happened because of something. Like maybe there was going to happen something worse. And that's always what I think, just to keep feeling better, because this was really, really hurtful. You're like,
I hope something positive came out of this really bad situation.
Yeah, I was like, definitely something else is going to happen. So this saved me. No, but like there's stuff, maybe I'm just an overthinker, but like that day I remember like there was a huge truck behind my car and I was like, okay, then I can avoid it this way. And then I was like, wait, maybe it was like the universe trying to stop me to like, wait a second and then go.
Got it.
That's what I think. But I don't have like any experience. Well, I almost didn't live when I was gonna be born, but that's not the same thought topic.
That's a story for another time.
Yeah.
Natalie.
Instinct. Yes. I'll give you like a real life one and then I'll give you like a kind of like a funnier one, because I'll start with the funnier one. Okay. I was at, I got invited to YouTube to be a part of their, what is it? That one thing they did once a year.
Braincast.
No.
Summit.
The really cool like video.
Oh, YouTube Rewind.
YouTube Rewind.
Well, that was so cool, right?
So that was my moment. I was like, oh my God, you guys, I got invited. So I'm going in there and I'm seeing everybody that I love. Okay. All the people. Casey Neistat walks in. Okay. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But nobody's like introducing us to anyone. Right. All of a sudden, Casey gets pulled into one of the rooms and the guy is like, Natalie, come with me. This is for you too. So everybody in the room was like, oh my God, Natalie's going to be with Casey. That's crazy. And I was like, oh my God, my instinct was don't go, don't go, don't go. I still went and I got there. And basically what ended up happening is I was standing there and Casey was like getting his whatever shot. And nobody was directing me where to go. So imagine me just like standing there. I look like a freaking fan. It was really awkward for me. And then everybody was looking at me and they're like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I got called up to be here. Oh, and before that, I went up and I was like, oh, hi, Casey. So it looked like I interrupted the shot, but I had been called to be in that moment. And then after that, they were like, no, you're not supposed to be here. Go back. So that was an instinct I didn't listen to. And I was like, this is really embarrassing.
But it did lead into something better.
What was it?
That you're barely in the rewind. So just so all of you know, that was the rewind that killed Rewind, right? Yeah. So YouTube Rewind.
But it wasn't because of me. Let's claim.
No. Maybe.
What?
Right. So YouTube Rewind used to be yearly, right? And then it got a little bit too, I think it got too woke, like to the point where there was like this fireside chat. And then it was like a couple creators. I don't want to name drop anyone, but like that they then started being memes and stuff. And like all of a sudden now everybody was making fun of Rewind, saying, oh, it's a waste. Like the good creators that belong in it aren't even there. And they were just making fun of everybody that appeared in the Rewind. So in Natalie's scene, so what I believe is Natalie was going to get a bigger part and it ended up not working out or happening. And she got 1 second where she appeared behind, I think you were behind Marques Brownlee, right?
Yeah.
And you were just kind of there with your visors looking at the eclipse because there was an eclipse.
We all put our glasses on. It's like the side profile of my face.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So there's a solar eclipse going on. And then Rewind always talks about the important things of the year. And like that was kind of like what happened. Mm. Right. And so you guys put your glasses on and then that was it.
That was it.
I think if you would have had a bigger part,
for like 5 hours, guys,
you would have been culturally canceled. Not even like mega canceled by the entire nation.
Damn. Oh, maybe.
Why? What happened?
It was just awful. I remember when
off
that
camera, friend silly. Haley, we'll talk behind it.
Haley, you're welcome to name drop if you want. It's up to you. I don't want to do it.
I don't really want to get into it either because I don't know. But God, I just remember that whole era. Oh my goodness. And yeah, no, YouTube Rewinds were never the same.
Yeah.
Again,
it was just really, a really cringy fireside.
But what are you name dropping? Because I think like if I'm listening to a podcast, it's annoying for me to be like, tell me, Dennis.
The thing is, it wasn't even, I can promise you that it wasn't even the talent's fault of who was around the fireside chat. Mm-hmm. For example, Casey, you just mentioned him, right? Yeah. Casey had a scene
with the Merrill twins.
With the Merrill twins, that he was like, that was so cringe. Like they're so young.
He
felt
uncomfortable filming it. And he had to like dance.
They made me dance. Yeah, right? Yeah.
And it wasn't like him.
He became a meme.
Yeah, he did
for a while. Like for dancing in that scene.
Yeah.
Like there's just like if you go to that fire chat scene, it's just awful. It's just really bad, and it ruined Rewind Forever.
I kind of wish I had been a meme. I kind of wanted a bigger part in it. Yeah.
Man. I promise you, you dodged a bullet really? On that one.
Okay.
Yeah, your instinct enough to
they not pulled instinct. Me out of the
yes,
shot.
Yes.
Well, that was mine. Anyways,
for me, I don't know. I'm too logical.
Oh no! Come on, you have to.
I'm logical.
One. No.
My instincts, I think, are in line with my logic. I kind of push them away. I don't listen to my instincts usually.
Okay.
And what happens is, I'm not as maybe spontaneous. Sometimes as I would want to be. I think sometimes I overthink things, and sometimes I feel a little bit of paralysis
you
from over analysis. Right.
You really are though.
But I think we balance each other out really well. Your instincts are constantly screaming and mine are kind of like off. And so you're like, I don't think we should do that. And I'm like, really, why? And then sometimes you have no reason.
Exactly. That's the thing. And I've learned to go with it. I remember my first manager always told me that. He said, go with your gut. Sometimes you won't be able to explain it. And it's true. But sometimes you just won't.
But then it bothers me because I'm like, can you give me a reason why? And you're like, no, my gut, my instincts.
It's but just something I feel. I get it. No, and I get that.
I don't get that feeling.
But you know why you've trusted me?
Yeah.
Because I've trusted myself. And so it's turned out right every time.
You're my instincts.
Yeah, I guess.
That's the answer. You're my gut feeling, and I follow what you say. And you've never fucked up, so don't mess up.
Don't fuck up.
Don't mess up.
That's cute.
Okay, so we have some Dennis Fun Facts of the Week that we can end this with.
Okay, cool.
And then everyone can give a little bit of input in that. So over half of Americans nowadays use subtitles some of the time, or at least most of the time, when watching TV nowadays. How many of us, show of hands, use subtitles when watching movies on Netflix, for example?
I hate subtitles, guys. I can't believe all these hands.
Yes.
I absolutely hate it. I don't like seeing it on the screen. Why? I'm curious. Why?
Maybe it's just like a me issue, but I feel like I don't understand what's happening if I don't have the subtitles. Like I need to read it because I don't know. Movies honestly move a little too quick for me. Maybe I'm just dumb.
Yeah. Sometimes it's kind of hard to understand what they're saying too. I don't know if it's the sound or me or what.
But. It's the audio mixing. The music and the sound is too loud and it drowns out the audio of the voice. And so it has a lot to do with modern TV. That's all I can say.
What I will say is if it's like a British show or something like that, I will turn on subtitles.
Definitely.
I was telling Dennis when I went to
London. Yeah.
You guys, I went with my parents, right? And they were like, translate for us. And me and my sister could not understand anything. The guy would give us direction. It's like, it sounded like blah, 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 blah. And me and my sister were like, oh my God, Angelica, do you get it? And we turn around, my parents are like, you guys know English, don't you? And we're like, no, it's so different. So yes, for those sort of shows, I would.
I think in that, if only we could have subtitles in real life.
You can with the new glasses. I heard.
Not sponsored, by the way. But yes, that'd be really cool. Would it be able to pick up London English?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel
they're
like
really
that'd
good.
Be a little hard. Yeah. Anyways, that's it for this week's
episode.
Wait,
we didn't get Francelis up.
Oh,
My bad,
Francelis. Go ahead. Subtitles.
I use subtitles in English because English isn't my first language.
Oh,
so,
that's good.
So now I don't have to use them as often. Before, it was all the time. I do not like watching stuff with subtitles because it's made for not to have subtitles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And since I have I studied a little bit of film too in college, for me, it's like, take those subtitles off. Like they're bothering what you're watching. So yeah, definitely. So, but yeah, like if I'm watching something in Spanish, I will watch it without subtitles unless I'm like doing other stuff. And like, well, unless there's a lot of noise, but like I watch with subtitles in English only.
Do you guys think subtitles can help someone learn a language?
100% me, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It's like how I know a lot of the Spanish that I know right now.
I've watched hundreds of hours of anime and I don't know any Japanese.
Then focus. Imagine.
Wait, I think it's because it's different because like those languages are so different, like so complicated. But like for me, well, I've known English my whole life, but it really helps me like also a little bit with how the people actually talk in real life because you understand like like you get the basics of English and how to speak it properly, but like you don't understand how people actually talk until you live at the place or you watch shows. So they're like, oh, like slang a little bit, I think.
Or like inflections, how people pronounce certain words. Natalie?
What I was going to say, I don't know if this is what you meant, but like if I'm watching a show in Spanish, I put the subtitles in Spanish. Oh. Also. Yeah, I don't put it in English.
So it's like me watching anime and reading in Japanese and hearing Japanese.
But it's easier that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I got it.
That's how you
got
to do
That's
it.
Why I'm not learning Japanese. Exactly. Duh, I'm not reading it. You want to sign us off, Natalie?
Well, thank you guys so much for being here today. As always, we love hearing what you guys think. Leave us a review. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube.
And on YouTube, be sure to leave us a comment down below responding to these instant questions and the 10 million question. We would want to know what you have to say. And also, be sure to check out Offline Humans, the book, at your local bookstore or Barnes & Nobles. Or if you can't, be sure to get it online. And yeah, that's
it. We'll see you next Friday.
Next Friday, 4 p.m.
Eastern time.
4 p.m.
Eastern time.
Eastern time. Yes.
Bye.
Bye,
we
everyone.
Dance off. Doo-doo.